This is a simple message like I would teach in our Parkerville Church in eastern Kansas ranching country, where I was raised starting in 1933, because I date my birth from my conception, like the Chinese do. So that would make me over 75. Now, I know I don't look that old, but I've had a lot of things to make me old. When it comes to the Word of God, I'm just scratching the surface. I was saved back in 46, so we'll know each other somewhat. That's 62 years ago. And then in 1951, I had such a strong call to preach the Word of God that immediately I was asked by my pastor to begin preaching. And I've already told some of you this, but my first message was on why scratch like a sparrow when you can fly like an eagle with our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure how many were edified with that first message, but that was the start. And now, being in our 58th year of ministering the Word of God, I think this has been the highlight of our whole ministry this week. I just can't say enough about what the Lord has been doing here. And the thing that strikes me about this ministry is the prayer warriors. And that's one thing that's lacking in many of our churches across this country, is fervent prayer and the ministry that God wants us to engage in along those lines. Now, in a sense, after watching PowerPoint and all these things, I feel a bit naked electronically. You must remember where I come from in ranching country in eastern Kansas near Council Grove on the Santa Fe Trail, that our Morris County has no zoning. You have to have no permits to build. You have an absolutely wonderful police force that calls your dad if your son is out of line. That the county commissioners there are people that are real responsible for low taxation. What we do lack is people. We don't see very many people. The church that I minister in was started in 1865. And every week since then, the Word of God has been taught. The Word of God. And it is to this day. We've just celebrated some 50 years there with one of the men who has pastored all during that particular time. We have a staff. We have an evangelist. We have a pastor teacher. And we have a teacher. And obviously, it all works together for the glory of God. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to give you the outline of the Word of God. All 66 books. You say, what in the world could that possibly be? Well, I better produce here. First of all, it's three L's. Now, in our home, we often pray for the three B's. B1, B2, B3. Well, this is L1, L2, and L3. So we're going to go from the B's to the L's. And for some of you don't know, that's the Bolander family, who are very, very dear to us. And, of course, Pastor Bob is the pastor here of this particular church. Three L's. What's the first one? Life. That's eternal. What's the second? That's light. That's absolute. What's the third? That's love. That's perfect. That's the outline of the Word of God. That's the way He develops it, all the way through the Word of God. Now, in many ways, in my ministry, we're very simplistic because many of the people say, look, I have to have it simple from the pulpit. Now, I don't know what they mean by simple. I guess they want a simple pastor. But at any rate, we have to sometimes get things very, very, shall I say, basic, so that they know exactly where I'm going. When I wrote a Hebrew word up on the overhead, which we didn't have, because there's no overhead, there's no PowerPoint. It's about 1900 if you would come to our church. But when I put on the drawing board a Hebrew word, three or four of the people panicked and said, what's he doing? All right. You notice in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Creativity, to me, is the major verb of the entire Word of God. Creativity. And in that creativity, we have life. We have life. We have the source of life coming from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, spotlighted by the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was upon or over the surface of the earth, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." So you have life because God the Father is the source of life, along with the Trinity, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And now we have light. But you know, the thing that really gets me is that you do not have love until chapter 22. You do not have ahav, or later on, chesed. Of course, that's pronounced many different ways. Loving kindness. Those two Hebrew words. Until Genesis 22. And all through the Word of God, it's interesting that when you look at it, there was no mention of love between Adam and Eve. There was no mention of love when it came to Noah and his wife, the three sons and their wives. And of course, there were no children on the ark, of all things. They said, boy, they must have had peace. I think the animals acted up. Okay? So, when you get into this, you go on to Noah. And there's nothing in the Word of God about Noah, obviously. You don't go, and you go on, and then you get into Abraham and Hagar and Sarah. You'd have anything in love. So turn with me to Genesis 22, and we'll have to do some turning here. Genesis chapter 22, and it's a very interesting thing because here is where love is first mentioned. Not a mother's love, but a father's love. A father's love of all things. Genesis chapter 22. If you notice in verse 1, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love." That's the first use of it. "And go to the Mount of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you." The first love in the Bible is between a father and his son. And in marriage, when you get into Ephesians, you get into the fact of the husband loving the wife. But up to this point, we do not have that here. So, I'm telling you in this outline that I've got to understand absolute life, which is eternal life. I have to understand the whole concept of light, which is absolute light. Takes care of darkness. And when I look at this, I think, this is the bonding that we see in type here between the Father and His Son. And the bonding between my son Steve, who will be 50 next month, and I think of the bonding that we had before our second son, David Paul, went to be with the Lord in an automobile accident. And I think of the bonding with our three daughters. And I think of that, and my son told me some years ago, he said, "Dad, you were so busy with your big church on the West Coast that you really didn't have time for me like I would have liked to have time." When I was in seminary, I asked W.A. Criswell, I said, what his greatest regret was. He had that huge First Baptist church in Dallas. And he said, "Ralph, I didn't spend time with my family." When Dr. J. Vernon McGee came for his lectures there at Dallas, I said to him one day, I said, "What's your greatest regret?" He said, "I didn't spend time with my family." And he said, there were repercussions for that. I'm a workaholic. I can remember 20-hour days, 7 days a week. And with the first four children, my dear wife really did a lot of the raising of our children. Amazing, isn't it? And one of the things that happened to me when our own parents were dying, it took a long time for them to go to be with the Lord. the Lord worked me over, and I had to go through all the deficits of my ministry up to the last 45 years or so. The Lord really worked me over. As I was sitting in the pew with my dad, and I was listening to other people, so I identified with you in the pew after all these years in the pulpit. And there's a different viewpoint when you're sitting down there than when you're up here. And the Lord really worked me over on prayer. The idea in the Word of God deepened my prayer life. And now I know what it is to pray without ceasing, because we've got 19 grandchildren. We have what some of you have. Some of them are as far away from the Lord as anybody could get, all having professed to know the Lord, all being raised in Christian homes. Oh, do we pray, you know. But the Word's gone in them, and don't you ever give up on your children, and remember your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Remember that God looks at the whole life. You look at one day and you're depressed. Don't be depressed. Get with the truth. Believe that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. My three daughters, they all live in Morris County. They're all in rural types of enterprises, and hear them say, "Hey, Daddy, we love you." And to Dorothy, oh my, you ladies, you're so dedicated to your children. You're so hurt in your soul when they're not living for the Lord, and you're so blessed when they are. But I'm not going to give up on what God has put into them as far as the Word of God. You know, I've known some of you people for 27 years, you know, when I came here in 81, 82, in those particular years, and ministered after Bill Dorman was here. But this ministry was on our heart long before that. They'd asked me to come here long before that time. And I said, no, our ministry on the West Coast was where we were to be at that time. But you see, I've got the whole concept here that I'm seeing developed all through the Word of God, eternal life, absolute what? Light. And then what? Perfect love. Perfect love. Can you imagine? And I like to use the word perfect love, because love will come in two forms: agape love and philos love. And in our particular marriage, Dorothy and mine, and we're heading up to 52 years, I've said to her, I believe that we have had the agape love, the devotion to our marriage, the sacrifice involved, the raising of our children, the praying for our grandchildren, but now we're developing something that's based upon agape love, philos love, the intimacy of our marriage. I don't talk about the sexual part. I'm talking about the intimacy of two people that have been together all these years. And I'll tell you something, this intimacy is going to be in communion. This intimacy with the Father, we're not only expressing our devotion and our sacrifice to truth, we're in the friendship area. We're in the very heart of the Lord and the pupil of His eye concept. And oh, this whole thing of developing not only Christ and the Holy Spirit, but like a young man told me many years ago, Dean Berquist's brother Tracy, he said, "Why don't you fellows teach on the work of God the Father in the life of the believer? Fathership, sonship, fathership, family, childrenship." Oh, there was the deficiency. There was a deficiency. Prayer and the whole concept of knowing how the Trinity all worked in me, body, soul, and human spirit. And I stand before you and I'm so excited, not only about this ministry, but other ministries across the country that are teaching what is called in Acts 20, the whole counsel of the Word of God, the whole purpose of the Word of God, so that we men become spiritual leaders of our home. My dear daddy wasn't saved till he was 47, and I was 20. In other words, he was 27 when I was born. And Dad had a pretty rough background, all the bronze do in that part of the country. Extremely wealthy, like into the millionaire class. So we were raised with money. But Dad said when I went into the ministry, he still was not a believer. We thought he was. He maybe thought he was. He thought he could lose it. Probably did every time he cussed. But anyway, He said, when you get in the ministry, he said, there's two things. You can't cuss in the pulpit, as I've been around it all my life. And he said, put on your pants. Don't put on a skirt. He said, minister to men, because these men will minister to the wives and the family. Teach them, he didn't say this, but I will add, teach them to love their families. Teach them sacrifice to their families. My dear dad, we were out vaccinating some cattle for blackleg, and the shrins dropped in the ground. And instead of Dad swearing, I said, Dad, you didn't swear. He said, no, I have the new birth. I have the new birth. And I saw scripture verses on the old W.C. Alice Chalmers tractor. I saw scripture verses on the old hand-operated cream separator after we did our milking without machines, by the way. The old squeeze method. And did Dad take off? He was so transformed. He said he had thought about these things he couldn't put together, and just out of the blue, well, Jesus Christ died for me. I'm believing in Him right there. Now, Dad would never go forward to do something like that. And I don't think he would ever go forward in a church to, with his mouth, say, hey, I got saved. He told it to his family, first of all. My mother kept it as a secret until he'd tell me himself, you know. I'm talking about this love that a father has. Now, I'd like you to go on to John's book, all right? Now, it's really interesting. John's Gospel in the New Testament. And this is so interesting to me because this is the same pattern that John follows. And after you've studied all of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you're getting old in years like my dear wife and myself are, now we're finishing our course. We hope finishing strong in the books of John. John 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, John, and Revelation, you see. So when I get here to John chapter 1, let's see how he starts it. And we'll also see how he starts it in 1 John, you see. All right, notice it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God. All right, that's the Father, and the Word was God, the whole concept of deity in the Trinity concept. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, just like in Genesis, and the life was the light of men. Did you know something that's very interesting? He didn't use love in the first chapter. He didn't use love in the second chapter. He used it in chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. To me, this is interesting that when I minister, and dear Cliff, if the Lord leads you to start a ministry, are you in a ministry? The whole concept of spending time on what life is from God's standpoint, the whole concept of looking at absolute light that keeps us out of darkness. Back in 48, my folks decided after 1933 marriage that they would take after 15 years their first vacation. And we had a nice new 47 Chevy that he'd bought when the 48s came out. And so we went to see my uncle and aunt that were in Denver City, Texas, in the oil patch. And from there we went to Carlsbad Caverns, where my mother lived at one time when that was actually discovered. My parents go back a whole bunch of years. And in those days, in 48, you could go down in the Carlsbad Caverns and they didn't have all the safety stuff. And they turn all the lights out. And they said, this is as dark as you'll ever see. But they didn't say this, with one exception, the darkness of hell. You know how I was saved when I was 12? Old preacher got up and he said, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. So I went home and I said to my mother, Mother, have you ever told a lie? Because I didn't think she had. And you know what she said? I've told a white lie. I said, Mom, what's that? She said, well, I guess it's a lie. And that took everything away from me. And I don't want to go to the lake of fire, Mother. How do I do it? I didn't ask Dad. Dad said, I don't know what even the lake of fire is, he said. I've got burned, but, you know, I don't. Yeah. Mother said, you need to be saved. She's Mennonite. We come from Newton and Hutchison and Hillsborough, and we have the Balzers and the Everts and the Unruhs, and there's only about 60 different names among the Mennonites, you know, in our group. And we're related to all of them on Mother's side. And she said, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. I said, how do you do that? And I think she turned to John 3:16, and she showed me how it was done. So I started off with life, 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 life. That's why I have home Bible classes, because Acts said there's public ministry and there's home ministry. And I have a lot of home ministries. And we sit around and we have people that have been under the ministry of the Word of God for 30 years. Even ministries like this. And I'll ask them, do you know how to present your body as a living sacrifice? And they say, I don't think so. Do you know how to walk in the Spirit? Well, you know, doesn't have to do something with confession. Do you have the armor on right now of Ephesians 6? You have the full honor? There's where you find if the Word of God is getting there. Now, some of you remember Donnie Dolan, Donnie and Mary. Okay, you have to go back a few years in that. They were up in our Iowa church ministry, too. They'll live in Iowa today. You know what Donnie would do? He said his kids didn't get much out of the morning message. So he would take his notes and his Bible and everything, and in the afternoon he would teach the message to his family that the children had been hearing but not hearing in the morning. There wasn't a junior church or whatever, you know, in those days and so on, and they were in the congregation and what have you, you see. So obviously creation, creativity is life. And that's what keeps from boredom. Creativity. Use your mind in the mind of Christ to be creative. Creative. Teach your children to be creative, you see. That's life. When you get the light, teach them what absolute darkness is and what absolute light is that comes from the Lord. All right. So here you have life and you have light. But go to chapter 3, verse 16. Here is where you get the love. And, you know, I think when we teach love that comes from the very character of God in His essence, in His character, this is where you really learn how to be devoted to your marriage and to your family. This is where you keep the darkness that comes in. And sure, out there is a terrible, terrible world situation just waiting to pounce. And I'll tell you something, that's deep in my prayer life for our children. And I'm not crowing about the fact that I'm some super pastor or anything. I'm humbled. Because I go to the Father and I say, oh, Lord, help. Sometimes I say, please help. I used to say some other word, H-E-double-L. Now I say, help. That's right. My growth went from hell to help in swearing. Okay? That stuff's hard to get out of your mind. My dad said I could do it, but he said, you can't. So I just thought it. And boy, you didn't do it around women. My sister to this day does not think Dad ever said one curse word. I slipped one time and said something. Oh, she said, where'd you get that? I said, from Dad. And she didn't speak to me for 2 weeks. So see the pattern all the way through. This is the outline of the Word of God. Here is the one that loved. And I think he was the younger man of the disciples. He was much younger than Peter, wasn't he? He was a younger man, but he understood that agape love. That agape love. You know why Germany, and that's where a lot of our relatives are, in the Black Forest down there, Freudenstadt, southwest Germany, almost on the Swiss and the French border. And my family was for Hitler in 32 and over there. By 36, they saw he was crazy. You see, they were brought out of a depression. And there's certain kind of people that rise to a top in a nation when you have economic depression. Not the other word they use, recession, but depression. And that's where your dictatorship thing starts and all the rest of it, you know. And we're in transition today, and so to bow before the Lord and pray to God for our nation is certainly part of our prayers. But those folks over there, they said, we were hoodwinked, And the bronze over there, of course, they call themselves brown with a rolled R, an umlaut over the AU or something like that. I don't understand it. Mother said you never could pronounce the name right if you went to brown. Those dear people over there went through a Holocaust because they left eternal life, absolute light, and that last word, perfect love. All right, you see that. Let's go to 1 John. Let's go to 1 John and see if it starts the same way. This is the outline of the Word of God. I don't want you to ever forget this, Cliff. Those three L's. Emphasize them over and over and over again. Oh, verily, verily, I say unto you. All right. So when you get to John, 1 John, verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and we beheld and our hands handled concerning the Word, notice capitalized, just like in John 1:1, this is 1 John 1:1, of life. Divine vocabulary. Jesus Christ is divine vocabulary. He's the Word, Alpha and Omega, beginning to end. Get divine vocabulary in your thinking, and you will think. People often ask me, I'm concerned about dementia. I'm concerned about Alzheimer's and things like that. Well, my dad had Alzheimer's, so I got to observe somebody who had gone past the day of accountability. We have children before the age of accountability, but some of your loved ones will be beyond accountability. So I had a series on it. Really helped people. In Iowa, we had 14 ladies in their 40s. And one of them came up kind of timid one day, and she said, "Is there anything on the Bible on change of life?" I said, "Of course there is." So I had a series on it. Man alive, I never saw so many women come out to get that. And it really helped. This is the Word. Divine vocabulary. What we think in our souls. Well, okay, so we've got life, and the life was manifested, revealed, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was from the Father. Really? I thought it originated with Jesus. He manifested it. The Father sent His Son and the Holy Spirit. There's a delegation there by the Trinity in eternity past, Ephesians chapter 1. Think about it. Oh, the excitement. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. You have fellowship with the Son. You have fellowship with the Father. How do you do that? And these things we write so that your joy may be complete. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. Can you see that? God is light. In Him, there is no darkness at all. I'm sitting here today. Excuse me. I'm standing, aren't I? I'm standing here today in light that's absolute. It's awfully dark out there. Oh, I have one time when I was up for being shot by the Communist Party in 73, but I survived that. And then in two churches, including this one, I was asked by the police who attended here, Paul Cassette, for example, some of you know that name, to put on a bulletproof vest. Because we were turned around in those days. We spoke from up there. People just walk in off the street. You would laugh. Some of the things that happened there that would disrupt the service were unbelievable. 12 times I have recorded in my diary it happened. Some of you probably have forgotten some of those times. But notice, what has He got here? He has got fellowship that's between what? The whole concept of eternal life that we have in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And light, that brings fellowship. But you know, there's nothing in chapter 1 about love. There's nothing in chapter 1 about love at all. Where do you have to go? 1 John 2:5. But whoever keeps His Word, in him the love of God has been perfected. Now, I'm not going to go into the Greek and everything behind the word perfected, but it's a tremendous study. It takes a whole series to show what perfected love is all about. See? And so, when a young couple comes to me and they want to be married, I say, you have eternal life?
Yes.
Do you have absolute light that the Holy Spirit? See, Christ is in the saving business. The Holy Spirit is in the light business. The Father is in the love business. God the Father so loved the world. Father loving the Son. We fathers being loving. I didn't have that in my dear dad. My dad was a hard worker. My dad was a good man. A man did many things. He was on the school board for 25 years, even on the Consolidated, Morris County Extension thing, all of those things. He was a leader in the community. And when he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he and mother, they were in a Methodist church. One after another, they had three unsaved young men who were pastors. They led them all to Christ. By the way, that's my background, Methodist. And I have just recently been teaching in a Methodist parsonage in a Methodist church. You know why? The pastor says, I don't believe in the virgin birth, but you do. And these people in my church believe in the virgin birth. Would you teach them? Wow. Oh, my. But I'm very gracious. I'm not putting him down. He stands before the Lord. I know what I believe. You know what you believe, you see. All right, you got that? Now, in the last few minutes, I want you to go to Revelation 3:20. I want you to look at this, because this is pre-communion. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I never could figure out the Laodicean church. And until this came along, and I'm going to have to get after 30 years another Bible, because look at that. I mean, it's falling apart on me. All right. Beginning with verse 19, those whom I love, phileo, rapport, I reprove and discipline, be zealous therefore and repent. And my son tells me that I didn't emphasize repentance enough. Oy, he's been in the pastorate and he's in radio business now. He and his wife now are on the same page. They had their ups and downs just like all you young couples seem to have. I guess we did too in our generation. But he said, repentance really got to me to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and what I've been saved from. He said, Dad, are you preaching repentance? I said, yeah. And I found this verse. And, of course, all the way through 2 and 3, that's the big thing, that there has to be an emphasis in the angelic conflicts that you have to understand repentance and have a series on it. What is it really? All right? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is not a salvation passage, although I used it for many years in the early days. This is to believers. If anyone hears my voice, the Word of God, opens the door. You don't go through closed doors. You go through open doors. This is the door of phileo love. I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. The intimacy of phileo love. Dining with the Godhead in the name of Christ. Dining with the Godhead in the name of Christ. We're going to dine. Lester Roloff used to sing, come and dine. Couldn't sing very well, but the words were great. Dear folks, the three L's. The three L's. Indelibly let the three L's be there. It's the divine outline of the Word of God. Evangelism, edification. And I'm in the stage of evaluation. Chapters 2 and 3 where the Lord's putting me through the whole things so I can be ready for the judgment seat of Christ, but it's a grace operation up there. Like Dr. Chafer in his spiritual life course. No matter in those test booklets whether you wrote a long time or a short time, you've been in college, haven't you? And there's a big exam and some guy gets up 5 minutes after the exam is given. You think, what in the world kind of person is that? Took me the whole hour, but he put an A. And under it, grace, A, grace, a grace. Oh, there was a grace man. Let's pray. Father, oh, indelibly imprint upon us eternal life. Indelibly imprint upon us absolute light and perfect love. And Lord, might we be transformed by the truth of God's Word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.